22:34-60, very simply says, when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they assembled in a body, and one of them, a lawyer, in an attempt to trip him up, asked him, "Teacher, which commandment of the law is the greatest?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart." Pray together. Hail Mary, full of grace,
the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Amen. And it's through the apparitions that Maureen's received since 1985, both of Jesus, a Blessed Mother, and a number of the saints, we dedicate this Rosary Hour to Our Lady.
Thank you, Don. What a great favor from heaven you have, Maureen. Public messages coming mostly from Blessed Mother from 1987 until December 12th of 1998. And now Jesus appears and gives messages to the public as well. It's just such a great privilege to be able to watch this happening, to absorb the messages, and to see where Jesus and Mary are trying to take us in our lives. Maureen, do you have spiritual guidance concerning these apparitions and messages?
Yes, I do. My spiritual director is Father Frank Kenny from Dayton, Ohio. He's a Marianist priest, and he has his doctorate in Marian theology from Catholic University.
And then I presume that he discerns the messages before they're distributed to the public.
Yes, he does. He makes certain there's nothing contrary to faith or morals.
Can you tell us how the apparitions began, Maureen?
The apparitions began in 1985. I was at adoration, and Our Lady peered to one side of the monstrance. Our Lady never puts her back to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And after she stood there for a while, the large beaded rosary that was in her hands changed, and the Hail Mary beads changed into the shapes of the 50 states. And then she left.
How does she look when she appears to you?
Our Lady has an oval-shaped face. She has medium brown hair, which is always parted down the middle, and it's usually pulled back behind her veil. She has very fine, delicate features. She has a smooth, velvety voice. When I see her, she has medium brown eyes. But as Our Lady is trying to teach us, her real beauty comes from the inside. It's not in what she wears or how she appears, and she's trying to teach us that God looks only at our hearts. He doesn't look at what we wear or how much money we have or how powerful we are in the world. He's looking at the love that's in our hearts in the present moment. And Our Lady's real beauty comes from her heart, from her presence, and from her love.
Thank you, Maureen. You know, these messages seem to be a real restatement of the gospel message, which is certainly appropriate for all people of all religions and all nations. And although we've been talking about many things that refer to the Catholic faith, this message does also apply to all religions, since it's the gospel restatement. Would you agree, Don?
Absolutely, Judy. Our Lady's indicated that she's coming to the world for all people and for all nations.
Don, how would you describe the importance of these apparitions and the messages that are given?
Oh, wow, Judy, that's looking back over the years, it's been a progression, but presently with that which is being stated by Jesus and Our Lady, the message of holy love is that which is, actually that's the mission that the Blessed Mother has given to us to spread throughout the world. Maureen will expound upon the holy love message, but as Our Lady has come as Mary, refuge of holy love, she states that this is the culmination of all her apparitions this century. She says it's the golden thread that unites all of them together, love God above all else, your neighbor as yourself, as I had read earlier, which is also her immaculate heart. But most of all, it's the fulfillment of the gospel message.
So these messages really come as private revelation, and sometimes there are questions about what we're supposed to do with private revelation, and perhaps it would be helpful to the listeners if we could say, if you are Catholic, there is recommendations from the Church and Code of Canon Law about how that is to be treated, and we found some quotes from Father Albert Hebert, his book, The Discernment of Visionaries and Apparitions Today. And this was as a quote taken from the book. Since the abolition of Canon 1399 and 2318 of the former Code of Canon Law by Pope Paul VI in AAS 58 in 1966, publications about new apparitions, revelations, prophecies, miracles, etc., have been allowed to be distributed and read by the faithful without the express permission of the Church, providing that they contain nothing which contravenes faith and morals. This means no imprimatur is necessary. And then, in another page of the book, page 10, Father Hebert says, in the present disciplinary attitude of the Church, it seems that no ordinary can forbid prayer meetings, simple prayer vigils, etc., at the site of alleged private revelations and apparitions. By a decree of the Sacred Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, approved October 14, 1966 by Pope Paul VI, Canons 1399 and 2318 were abrogated. This decree went into effect March 29, 1967. So we see from these two quotes that being able to take a look at private revelation and participate in the fruits that they may bring to an active faith in the world today and our ability to live the two great commandments of God would appear to be a good thing to do in order to support our faith life on a daily basis. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely, Judy.
In looking at the messages, one of the favorite prayers that I thought that Maureen has received from Jesus was on December 21st of 98. He said, Jesus, be king of this present moment. Take my heart, my soul, and my will, and make them your own. It's a beautiful prayer. Are there any particular messages that you would like to share, Maureen, on this opening program, or Don?
I guess one of the messages I'd like to share is what Jesus said on August 10th in 98. He said, the focus of the Holy Love message is to instruct my people how to live in the present moment as they await my return, not in fear, but to live in holy love. This is the foretaste of the new Jerusalem and of heaven itself. Worry is from Satan, who wants to destroy your peace and keep you in turmoil. I am peace. I have sent my mother to you to give you peace. You cannot lengthen your life by worry or by any preparation. The time of your judgment is already written. But you can save your soul and increase your joy in heaven by living in holy love. Do not waste time seeking to know the future. Stay in the present. Here is your salvation. I have given you the key to heaven through my mother. It is up to you to use it now. Then you will be prepared for whatever comes. And then Our Lady said, my dear children, I will tell you why it is important to have holy love in your hearts in the present moment. What is in your heart, my dear children, governs and directs your free will. Therefore, if your heart is full of holy love, your thoughts, words, and deeds will be loving and pleasing to God. It is the amount and degree of love in your hearts that determines the worthiness of all your actions, your sacrifices, and your prayers.
It's just a beautiful way to be looking at our lives, isn't it? It's striking within the messages how Jesus and Mary are emphasizing trust rather than fear as we look to the future. there are different approaches that others take that seem to result in a lot of fear about the future, but throughout the messages, there certainly has been a link to our everyday, just looking at the present moment and trusting what God has in store for us, and that's what we should be looking to, not our own plans, but what He has, because He has our best interests at heart. Did you have another quote that you were thinking of, Maureen, or Don?
Jesus gave us some lessons on the virtues, and He told me that you see trust as a small thing, but I tell you it is all. And He said the reason trust is so important is because we have to surrender our own will to Him in order to trust Him. We have to give up what we want and trust Him to give us what He knows is best. And He said, I invite you to contemplate for the moment a ship on the sea. The ship is your soul. The safe harbor it seeks is that of the United Hearts. The United Hearts are the Immaculate Heart and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The current that moves the ship along is holy trust. If the ship tries to move against the current, which is trust, it takes a greater effort with which to reach the harbor, the United Hearts. The more the soul trusts in itself and its own efforts, the more holiness eludes it. Being one with the United Hearts is holiness. Cast yourself upon the provision and protection of the United Hearts. It takes far less effort to achieve this than to live in fear and foreboding. If your soul is not steeped in love, you cannot approach the door to my heart. The key which unlocks the door of this heart is trustful surrender. If the grace of my heart were a beautiful bouquet of flowers, trust would be the gentle breeze that would carry the fragrance to you. Trust is like ascending a mountain. The higher you get, the closer you are to heaven. And then Jesus gave us a prayer about trust, and it goes like this. Dear Jesus, teach me to trust only in the power of you, your Father, and the Holy Spirit. I surrender my will to you. In this surrender, I accept that your grace controls the future. I understand that you love me and want only my good, my salvation. I resolve to live in the present and await whatever you may plan for me in the future. I will trust in your plans and divine will for me. Amen.
That is such a beautiful prayer. I know myself, I keep taking it out of my wallet and out of my checkbook and out of my pocket all day long as problems come up to remember to surrender them, and that there's a greater plan, and these little things in my life will be settled by Jesus, and God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, with Blessed Mother's help. It was interesting as you were giving those particular quotes, Maureen, that Blessed Mother's messages that she's given over the years kept leading us more closer and closer to Jesus. For those of us who are Catholic, she's always encouraging us to go to the sacraments, particularly confession and communion, always emphasizing Jesus and the Holy Eucharist. And now the messages have gone, Jesus is giving the messages, and they're about the united hearts, how closely united Jesus and Mary's hearts are. And that Jesus has told us that His mother is holy love, and He is divine love, and the two are together. It's just such a beautiful concept that we know when we're praying, Blessed Mother's praying with us to take us to Jesus. That particular prayer that you just gave is great. You know, anyone listening would like to have any part of the messages or the prayers, please address any requests you have to Holy Love Ministries at 37137 Butternut Ridge Road, Elyria, Ohio, and we will be very happy to send those out to you, and that address will be repeated at the end of the broadcast, too. Don, did you have any favorite quotes that you'd like to share?
Well, there's just so many, Judy. As Judy indicated, any questions can be sent to Holy Love Ministries, and we'll be glad to try to answer most of them on the air. We're not going to be able to get to all of them, but we'll, But we'll certainly try. When Maureen was just speaking about free will, and of course that's the only obstacle or the major obstacle, I think it was a number of years ago, St. Michael had appeared to Maureen. She had been praying for the conversion of someone for years. And nothing was happening. And when he appeared to her, he advised her that with all the power that God has given to me, I am completely powerless against man's free will. So that's the only thing that comes into play that causes actually a wall to go up between us and the Lord, to be open to His divine will. I think it was back in 1997, Blessed Mother talked about fasting from our own will, and Maureen's very, very thin, and rather than fasting from any types of food, it's more of a sacrifice for her to eat than not to eat, and Our Lady suggested to fast from our own free will. And I'll get a little note from what took place at that point. Now, Blessed Mother had St. Therese of Lisieux, the little flower, with her, and she said, all vocations and stations in life are to be vested in holy love, as this humble nun proclaimed. All must realize the significance of the present moment. It's in the present moment that the reality of your salvation lies. You are always in the refuge of my heart when you live this message. I have come to you offering this holy refuge and pleading for all people, all nations, to accept my invitation. Ask the people, when fasting, to fast from their own will. So you can see basically how simple things are, and we're the ones that generally make it so complicated.
That's definitely true. It helps a lot to come back to those two great commandments that this whole thing is based on. Each time in the Holy Love message, when you hear the word holy love, if you can picture, it means love God above all else and your neighbor as yourself. That is the key to this entire message. It's the day-to-day living. It's the present moment living that we do, that it all has to do with. We would, in a few minutes, we're going to be able to say the rosary with all the listeners, and we're very happy to do that. But we would like to describe for you the property where Holy Love Ministries is located. It is actually in Eaton Township, and although there's an Elyria, Ohio address, the physical location is Eaton Township, and it's located near the intersection of Highway 83 and Lorraine Road. Those of you familiar with the area know Lorraine Road, traveling west, does turn into Butternut Ridge, and that's where you'll find, between 83 and Durkee Road, you'll find the 83-acre property. And there we have a number of shrines to the patrons Blessed Mother has given this mission, so that we can continue to touch many souls with her words, so we can be brought closer to her son. We have a shrine, of course we have a prayer center, and that's the Immaculate Heart of Mary Prayer Center. And there are a number of beautiful, grace-filled blessing points there that you would be interested in coming to see. As well, we have the Lake of Sorrows for Our Lady of Sorrows, and we have the United Hearts Shrine. We are constructing a Lake of the Angels dedicated to the Holy Angels. We also have the Padre Pio Shrine and the St. Joseph Lake. And then the beautiful set of stations in the back in the woods, the most peaceful place to ever be able to see the stations. Blessed Mother has attached many graces to all of these areas at the property, and we invite all the listeners, your friends, anyone who would like to come and find some comfort from God, to come any day of the week, 9 in the morning till dusk, and experience the peacefulness at the site. Is there anything you wanted to add to that, Don?
No? Yes, Judy, I think Our Lady's indicated that that her presence will always be there, and the peacefulness that so many people find is very, very special.
It certainly is. We can attest to that ourselves. It's a great place to go and find that everything's put in perspective. Blessed Mother is there. She's ready to help those.
What about, Judy, you want to tell us about some of the miracles that have happened and why the miracles happen?
The most striking to me are the miracles of grace in people's souls. We've seen people who haven't been to confession, been back or active in the sacraments in the Catholic Church for many years, come to the site and be so convicted in their hearts that they return to their religious roots and to a faithfulness in their lives with God. We have a Protestant couple, a young couple, who come frequently to visit the site, who have come and given a testimony of how their lives have been changed, and they've returned to their religious beliefs and in a stronger daily prayer life because of their experience at the property. We have people who have been cured of a number of illnesses and diseases physical problems in their lives. People with cancer, people with heart disease. Recently, we had someone who was on a heart transplant list who, after praying with us at Holy Love, has now been taken off of that heart transplant list and is doing just fine. It's a great healing through the intercession of Blessed Mother with her son.
Isn't he the Archbishop from Africa, one of the countries in Africa, I believe? Mm-hmm.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yes, Don.
Somebody spoke with his nurse just recently, and she hadn't expected him to live more than 2 weeks. And you know, we just praise God for all the graces given through his mother. Once again, to reiterate, all the graces come from our Lord, but they all come through Mary's mediation.
Mediation, that's right. I think Jesus described it. His speaking on the virtues lately have been absolutely beautiful and poetic. And we are, I think he recently talked about in prayer that when he's praying, when we're praying, whether we know it or not, Blessed Mother is praying with us in order to bring those prayers more effectively to he himself. We really are blessed to have been able to get these virtue lessons from Jesus. He seems to be continuing them, and we will be publishing them when he's complete with them. Maureen, did you have something that you wanted to share from one of the from about the self-love and holy love table that Blessed Mother gave us?
Yes, Judy. The Blessed Mother told us that the greatest obstacle to our own holiness is an inordinate self-centeredness. She calls it self-love. Of course, we're supposed to love ourselves as God's creation, but an inordinate self-centeredness or a selfishness stands in the way of our progress on the path of holiness. And she gives us some examples of self-love. She says, self-love is motivated towards self-advantage in thought, word, and deed. Self-love sees only others' faults, not his own, considers himself on the right path, and perhaps even humble and virtuous. Self-love holds a checklist in his heart of every wrong perpetrated against him. He's quick to anger and stands vigil over his own rights, making certain they're not transgressed. Self-love hangs on to his own opinions and refuses to surrender to another viewpoint. The person committed to self-love takes pride in his own achievements and may even take pride in his spiritual progress. Self-love sees himself and the world as the be-all, end-all. His only pleasure is thus achieved through the world. He uses the goods of the world to satisfy himself. He objects to every cross and sees trials as a curse. He resents others' good fortune. When he prays only for himself and his own needs. He cannot accept God's will because then he becomes bitter over trials. Now, the person who is trying to follow the path of holy love is motivated in every thought, word, and action by love of God and neighbor as self. He sees himself full of imperfections, is always seeking to be perfected through love, and considers everyone more humble and holy than himself. He imitates divine mercy as best he can. He is compassionate and forgiving. He's patient and takes note of others' needs and concerns. He offers his own opinions, but listens to others and lends them equal merit with his own. He realizes all things proceed from God, that without God, he is capable of no good thing, and all good comes from grace. He takes joy in storing up heavenly treasure, in growing closer to God and deeper in holiness. He knows the difference between earthly pleasures and spiritual joy. He uses the goods of the world to satisfy his quest for holiness. He surrenders to the cross through love as Jesus did, and he sees crosses as a grace to be used to convert others. He prays for all others' needs and accepts God's will with a loving heart, even when it's difficult.